as time began to burn. Like a startling sign that fate had finally found me, and your voice was all I heard, that I get what I deserve. So give me
guys, this is Sky, and you're listening to Midnight Margaritas. This episode is a bit different from our regular format. It's basically a conversation between my husband and I sitting around the table just having a few beers. And we're talking about all kinds of crazy off-the-wall stuff, anywhere from abductions, depopulation, different types of alien races, and just some really unexplained stuff that sometimes you just can't wrap your head around. But we had fun having the conversation, and just want you to know that it's our own personal stuff. So again, take what you need from it, whatever resonates from you, and leave the rest behind. Thanks, and hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, but depopulation. Well, Jim Mars has been speaking about this for 10 to 15 years. The corporations and the elite want us dead because they want the planet to themselves. But people will turn around and say, well, why is that when corporations need people to buy their products? But it's not about
It's not about the money anymore.
It's not about money anymore. No, this is about control.
It's about control and power. Yeah. So, and I get that. So my question is, if they want us dead, I mean, you got to think about this. They've been feeding off of our energy since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
They use our children. They sacrifice our children for blood rituals and the energy and the power and the youth so they can continue to whatever they do to maintain their age, you know, thousands and thousands of years, right? So that's why they're using the youth.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then why do they want us dead?
They want us dead because we're a problem.
Because we're evolving, because we...
I just think that in the workspace and everything like that, the younger generations have become lazy, so they've become useless.
But they created that.
Yeah, they created that, but they've become more tolerant to drugs and drink and things like that, which obviously they want as well. But when you're talking about feeding off fear, I actually think they're creating hybrids. That's why they're looking for the soul. They say the greys have been looking, you know.
Because the greys don't have a soul. They don't reincarnate, so they don't know.
No, but I think they're looking for that to replace what we're just talking about, depopulation. So they depopulize, but then they're able to grow people from vats.
So is that why they're cloning?
I think so. I think that's why they're looking for the soul. You know, the soul that we all know we have, they're looking for the soul so they can feed their fear. So if you've got somebody that's more or less human, they're going to be able to manipulate it to feed off their fear.
Right, because humans have all those emotions.
Yes, you know, and that's why I think the greys are looking for, you know, they seem to be looking for the soul. They've got kids in vats and people have been abducted. They say there's always children that are in these sort of cubicles.
So it's kind of like literally like the movie The Matrix when everybody's in these little power bubbles and they're plugged in and they're sucking the energy out of them, growing them in pods.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to get that so they can feed off their emotional fear. So they're trying to make them like us so they can feed off their emotional fear. Do away with us.
Do away with a human race.
But
and use get somebody... The greys?
I wouldn't say... What I've been known as, the greys seem to be the ones that are the most popular for abducting people.
Well, and I... My belief on that is, from all my research around that, is that that is because they're trying to learn... are about the soul piece, the emotional piece, and the soul and the, you know, that whole component to the human, because they have evolved to the point that they do not reincarnate. So they don't learn. It was like, you know, poof, they're here and they just want everything right now. So and you can, same thing with, you know, the lizards come that are controlling us and using our powers. That's the whole thing. They've never reincarnated. So they need to know what that component is about reincarnation, learning through lifetimes and gaining information within the soul to become to basically grow and evolve, because they can't do that.
But I also think what I've studied over the past is that the greys have looked for that because they're emotionalists. They don't have sexual organs, which I think they're wanting to find the emotions back. So they're coming back from the future to try and look for the way humans used to be, the way they used to interact, the way they used to make love, the way they used to have babies, all that kind of thing.
Right, because that's the future we're moving into if we don't change things right now.
We're becoming emotionless. You can see that with everything that's going on in life. You can't slag anybody off. I mean have a laugh with anybody, because it's becoming so
politically correct.
So you can see why they are coming from the future, because they've no emotions, they've no sex drive, they've no nothing like that.
So they're kind of like what we are as human beings becoming.
That's
us in the future.
But I'm also saying this is where it gets a bit complicated, I'm saying that they've gone in that direction, but we've been told the Greys are abducting us and looking for our souls, da 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 da, and they've got that. But I'm also saying the elite could use that to their power, where they could create their own Greys, which is known to happen in America.
I was going to say, I think they're doing that anyway.
Which they've created their own AI
that
come down and abduct people.
Yeah.
To get rid of us, but also to have hybrids.
Right.
That have got emotions, well, that's so why they can feed off the emotion.
Right. So that's why they abduct us and you know, use our DNA and all that stuff. And what about all these women that have been abducted and have babies that aren't...
Yeah,
that
yeah.
They've, you know,
I remember a woman that... got hypnotized. I can't remember the doctor's name off by hand, but he was a ufologist. And she said herself, she went up to the spaceship, she's seen her daughter. She was pregnant at the time, and she's seen her daughter.
I know, what
she spoke
about,
to
yeah.
her daughter. The daughter couldn't speak, even though she was about 5 years of age.
Yep.
But emotionally, she was connecting to her telepathically.
Telepathically, right.
And so, I mean, that's happened predominantly in America. I mean, we don't hear about it. I don't hear about it in Russia because, but you hear about that in some of the documentaries I've watched. And to me, that's very true. You know,
it resonates with you.
It resonates. It just makes it. I'm a pretty good character of knowing who's telling the truth and who's not. Yes, it's TVs and TV cameras and all that, but she seemed very sincere. She's not the
and the thing is, you look at these people that have come forward and you know, shared their experience of abduction. Mm-hmm. They're not people that would be, I mean, they're average, normal people that they have no reason to create drama in their life
and ruin their life. Yeah, well, it is going to ruin
because,
your life.
Right, I mean, you come out and say, hey, I've been abducted by aliens.
People are going to think you're
cuckoo. Right, they're going to, and nobody's going to have your credibility in whatever world you live in and your lifestyle is completely gone.
It's gone. It's
so why would these people come out and say that I've been abducted?
And that's why when it resonates with people like us, because we can believe it, we've been taken away. We know about these kind of things. So we know that this is truthful, it's factual. Whereas other people, ordinary Joes that watch American Idol, Pop Idol, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the TV.
They're the ones
garbage.
That are first to judge us as crazy.
Right.
It's
absolutely.
Because they live in a different bubble than we do. But the fear factor, you know, with this depopulation thing, which Jim Mars did speak about, and David Icke, and it's so true. They want rid of us. So what better to do is try and clone us as close as they can as possible.
Right.
So they can feed off the fear, especially because it's young. They want the young.
Right.
You know, to feed off that fear. So they'll replace us as humanity, if you like.
Right. So, and that's basically what My Labs was all about, too. I mean, that's what they did. They abducted, you know, psychics and people who were, you know, tapped in, wired into source and universe, and they were channeling information. So they abducted those, and they did DNA. They took DNA, and they created clones and all kinds of wild, crazy stuff with them, among other things. I mean, they did jump timelines and, you know, manipulate the timelines and all that stuff too as well. But I mean, that's what My Labs was for.
Mm-hmm.
But they also blamed that they would make those subjects think that they were being abducted by the aliens, which usually they use the Greys. So a lot of these people who were, you know, captured, if you want to say, or taken in to My Labs for these tests and these, you know, DNA and implants were put in and all this stuff, you know, they wanted to make sure that those people didn't remember that it was their own U.S. government doing it. You know, I believe it was the CIA that did this. They're still doing it today. And they brought the Greys into that to help them do that, so that all the memories that these people have were with Greys. So they think that, oh, I was abducted by Greys, when that may not have been the case.
Yeah, that's fundamentally in their head. So it's programming again to think that the Greys have done it, even though there's many different species that have been on Earth.
Right.
they're programming it to be the greys, the ones that are emotionless, the ones that, you know, don't give a crap, if you like.
Right. So in a sense, the U.S. government actually manipulated and used the greys for this as well.
Yeah.
So they had contracts with them, and which they have had with many different races.
Well, in Eisenhower's time, he met up with a few different factions. So, definitely, there's, you know, the American government have spinned it a different direction, where it was greys that were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing
for their own.
Abductions, it's a horrible word to say, because a lot of the times you're not getting abducted, you actually go with your own will, you know. And some say you're getting abducted against your will, but you don't put up a fight, so
well, you can't put up a fight, they didn't give you an option.
Yeah, I can agree, but when I got taken away, there were certainly, I didn't have any fear.
But they gave you a choice, and they weren't the Greys.
No, they weren't.
They were the Palladians that
There was no fear.
Right.
There was absolutely no fear. It was just pure calm, pure...
love and peace and harmony.
Yeah, just feel good factor about it. Everything felt good. You know, my first initial thought when I was going through a window was, how the fuck am I going to get through here? But that's...
They took care of that for
that
you.
Took care of that.
We got that for you. Don't you worry about that.
And that was in my head, but they obviously read what was in my head and everything.
So they communicated with you completely telepathically.
Yeah, but not completely telepathically, because the woman that was there, she actually spoke to me. And it was so angelic. It was so warm. It was so... It was just a feeling of comfort. That's all it was. You've got nothing to worry about. We're looking after you. Just enjoy the ride, basically. And that's what it was. And there was no fear whatsoever. No fear whatsoever.
And they just took you out of your room?
Yeah, and I'm a highly strung kind of character.
I know about that.
Yeah, and I would think that would... Majority of times that would probably make me shit myself and go a wee bit schizo, but no, there was none of that. It's probably the calmest I've ever been in my life.
And they didn't like slip you any drug or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Played some techno. Woo! Yeah. No, just a very comfortable and honest experience. And
so where did they take you? What did they
just
do?
Just took me... Well, for years I wanted to know what the world looked like, and I wanted to go into outer space, astronaut or whatever.
You wanted to go home.
I think that's
a lot of it. Yeah, but
what they did, they took me, she actually said to me, you've always wanted to see the world from a different perspective, what you are just now.
So was she reading your mind and your thoughts, or was she?
I've had these feelings before, you know. As you know, you're always searching for who you are, and you're asking so many questions, and you end up being in a wee box of your own.
But I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that you had a telepathic connection with her long before event happened?
Definitely.
So it was like you're kind of sending those thoughts out there, you know, I want to know. And she was more, I guess what I'm saying is more like maybe a spirit guide for you, in a sense of, you know, your communication with the divine source. And it happens to be this beautiful Palladian that you were communicating with.
It wasn't just her. There was more than her when I got onto the ship.
So tell me about that.
Well, when I got onto the ship, which was translucent, which was mental, because I thought I was going to fall through the floor, as you do. And they went, no, you're fine. You're not going to fall. It's just the way the ship's designed.
It's kind of like that Indiana Jones movie when he's trying to cross in the cave, he's trying to cross
the
crevice, and there's nothing there, and he has to trust.
Basically, that's what it is. It's trust. You're putting your trust into some individuals that you actually know. I was going to say you don't know, but you do actually know.
Right, it's like you have a sense of knowing.
Yeah, There's
which
a sense
is a very intuitive thing. That's an intuition. Yeah, that's a psychic
because,
thing.
If it was, say, your son's or the son's palsy, right, going, I would never do that.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. You know, they're fucking crazy. And
so this was... This was just totally, just put your trust in them, and it's like you know them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not weird at all. It was actually, as I say, it was all comfortable. So when I initially lifted my right leg, it was to stand on the ship, and I seen the translucent. I could see the drop.
So you could, like, see right down
yeah,
the
you
ground.
Yeah, you could see everything. You could see everything. You know, and that's when we shot up into the air, and actually went round... the world.
Wow.
Pretty quickly. And then I said, can we do it
like
again?
Blink
and then
eye.
They said, yeah, we'll do it again. And we've done it again. And the thing that made it really trigger off that this was real, she actually spoke in my ear. You know when you feel a blow from wind or a breeze or something?
Or like when somebody's whispering in your ear, you can feel their breath on your ear.
And what it said was, wake up. And I felt the wind on my ear, and I just shot up, bolt right. And it was, that was either the wildest dream I've ever had.
So she had already brought you back. They
brought
you back.
Yeah, they brought me back.
Put you back in bed.
And it was a weird time in my life because I was back staying with my mum and dad. I was about 34 years of age. I think it was 2007, 2008. I'll get the facts right for the listeners. I went downstairs, made myself a cup of tea, and I went, whoo! That was the most exhilarating thing I've ever been through.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. I actually had to steal my mum's cigarettes out of her drawer because she hid them from my dad. So I stole some from her. So,
thanks, Mom.
How funny life works. She's hiding them from Dad now. I've got to hide them from her. And it was just like, I had to take everything in what just happened. And...
that must have been some processing, huh?
I felt amazing. Mm. I felt absolutely amazing. I felt like... And I'm somebody that's been in the music business. I've had drugs, I've had drink, and, you know, I've had all the highs and lows and the depressions, but this was just the best drug I've ever had, if you want to put it like that.
Mm. So is this experience what set you on your path to do your research on UFOs and aliens and... Or did that start before that?
No, I would... Well, 9/11 in America put me on the path to conspiracies because I just couldn't believe what was happening there. This is a different programme altogether. I'd get into that. But my mind has always been like that. I've always been different. I've always been looking to the sky. I've seen UFOs since I was... First one I seen was about 5-6 years of age, coming from the west coast of Scotland. No street lights where we come from, so you see a lot of things in the winter.
Mm.
And there was always that case of, what was that? What was that? And because we're on the Atlantic flight path,
mm-hmm.
you know what a plane is.
You know what a plane,
you know what
looks
plane
like.
Is.
Oh, yeah,
and you know,
it's completely different.
You know, with the port side, the starboard side of the colours and everything.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember, it's Cold War spell, so this is how old we are, or I am. So I remember when I was 4 or 5 and the propaganda on the BBC is all, watch out for the Russians. And when you heard, you know, it's, what's a Russian? It's a nuclear missile. It's a nuclear missile. You were terrified, you know.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, you were a lot closer than we were here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we had fears of that too, but not like you guys
very... Very scary times as a kid. You know, you felt you had to go and hide in a box or something.
Did they actually teach you in school to, like, when there was, like, an attack or something, hide under your desk?
No, because, remember, we're an island of 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gives a shit about us.
Well, you know what? That's kind of good in some ways.
In a way, it was, but when you're on the flight path to America, you know, you're going like, fucking hell, every jet that you hear is going to be.
Well, and that's funny because I'm in the next stop in that flight path.
Next stop here, is Maine. It's Maine or the east side of America. So,
yep.
You know, we've radar bases all up and down the the coast of Scotland there because the next stop is America.
Mm-hmm. New England would be the next.
But, you know, BBC giving propaganda, scaring the shit out of you. And, but to go back to what I was telling you about the lights, I've seen strange lights, fast. I mean, when I'm talking fast, I'm talking. I'm not shooting stars. You
just
know,
like flashes. People,
yeah, you could see it. I don't know if you remember the old Atari you used to get the tennis game.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the tennis game?
Yep.
Boom,
yep.
Boom. And seeing that kind of tracer. And,
mm-hmm.
And nobody's telling me that's an aeroplane or a shooting star. We know what shooting stars are like. We're not.
I know what you're talking about because I see that all the time. I've been seeing it since I was a kid too. And it's just. It's not.
You know whether that was them.
Yeah, it's not natural. This world
no. It's outer
world. Especially back then.
Especially with the speeds.
Right.
The speeds were. It's like click of a finger, if you like, a blink of an eye, and you're like.
Well, and you know, the U.S. was actually doing reverse engineering on those crashed.
Roswell, and then even before that.
Well, before that,
Aurora, and it's been going on for longer than that.
So they were trying to, and even
imitate.
Trying to imitate it. They're trying to recreate them, build things. And I know even Russia was trying to do the same thing, or Germany was actually.
Germany
more
was,
advanced than.
Well, Germany, when Hitler became the chancellor, they had the Black Forest.
Mm.
The Black Forest crash, which was a UFO retrieval, and that was, I think, 38, 39. And that's before they invaded Poland. So that's before they became a force to against the world.
So was the Black Forest the one? Was that the UFO that they tried to reverse engineer that looked like the bell?
I would reckon it would be.
That was like the time travel machine, right?
Well, the bell was. I would say it was a time travel machine.
Hmm. That's what I've heard. Was that the Black Forest event, though?
Yes. It wasn't the Black Forest event, but I would think they would have learned from the Black Forest event.
Okay,
Henkel and Fokker Wolf had drawings of spaceships.
Right.
Of spaceships, if you like, saucers.
Yep.
Well, you know, even though we had propeller planes,
mm-hmm.
they were drawing flying saucers.
Yep.
And getting the next level of.
Yeah, they were trying to build them.
Evolved from the military. So I just think they couldn't find a way to harness the energy.
It was the energy they couldn't power, that
the UFO had. So.
Right.
So, but I don't think they were far away. I think they were getting helped.
Yeah, well,
helped big time.
I know America had contracts with certain.
Well, I think this is even before America had contact with EBs, you know, extraterrestrial beings. I don't know if you heard of the Foo Fighters, and I don't mean the band.
Not the band, huh? Yeah, I love them.
A lot of the over the times when. You know, the Germans bombing Britain and the Britain bombing Germany and the Americans and allies. They were seeing lots of fire. Like, we would see fireflies, but these things were following the aeroplanes.
They called them
Foo Fighters. Yep. Because the Germans thought they were British. The British thought they were Germans.
Right.
None of them could explain what it was. It was like, what do we call them again?
The orbs.
Orbs.
Yep.
Following the flights at night. And all
but they were like super fast.
Yeah,
they
just 1 minute they're on the tail, the next minute
flash
they're 90 degrees north.
Yeah, within a split second. Yeah, I mean, if you blinked, they were gone.
But the Nazis were involved with the Vril Society. I don't know if people know about the Vril Society. Look it up.
I don't recall that either.
The Vril Society were an occult. Messenger people. They were women with long, long hair.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Cosmically, they were psychically connected. That was an antenna. The longer the hair, the better.
And they were getting psychic downloads of extraterrestrial beings. And that was helping the Nazis with their, to be honest, with their technology.
Right.
Because remember, the Nazis had the jet long before us. The Nazis had the atom bomb.
Oh, yeah, I know. And well, then the Americans Japan actually and America stole it.
And, well, that's why we're going to paperclip.
Yeah, but,
That's why a lot of them got freedom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they all defected to America asylum.
They had it, they just didn't have a delivery mechanism to get it to New York. It was called the New York bomb.
Right.
So that tells you where it was going to go.
Yep.
But they didn't have an aircraft that could carry enough
fuel. We were too far away here.
Too far away. Yeah. London wasn't, because they got the V1, the V2. But yeah. Certainly America was too far away to carry fuel. But
yeah. That's probably why they wanted London. They wanted to take
London,
the UK, so they could, you know, launch from there to the US.
Well,
I mean, if you think about it, that would have been a good strategy.
Hitler didn't want to bomb or discriminate England because he quite admired the monarchy. I think he fancied himself as being one of them himself.
They're all that goes into the bloodlines and all that.
But he fancied himself as being a hoi polloi himself.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to desecrate and bomb it to bits, so he'd have to rebuild it.
That's I've never.
Especially
heard
with all the history that Britain's got.
Yeah.
But certainly he was trying to prove a point, but the Battle of Britain, thankfully to Brits, the Brits are more tenacious than expected.
Yeah, especially those English.
Well, I wouldn't say the English. I think the Scots and the Poles pilots,
the Scots are, well, you can talk about them.
No, the English are as well. The English are.
The English are brutal. Yeah. They always have been.
They look upon it as the crown as being something special, whereas the Scots don't. So we put it that way.
They'd rather take away that crown and crush it.
Yeah, rather spitting it.
Spitting it.
Yeah, certainly. But Hitler admired the monarchy and all that. But he made a fatal mistake. I think he had too many grand plans
I think his
and going to Russia was
that was way out of his league.
That was the breaking of
that was what
Nazism,
took him down.
But it didn't mean Nazis didn't die. The German infantry died. The Nazis carried on.
Oh yeah, the Nazis are here and they took over America.
Yeah, they took over the Fourth Reich.
Which is happening right now. And they're implementing their plan.
If anybody's listening, please read Jim Mars. I'll look up Jim. I know Jim died a couple of years ago, but just look at some of his documentaries, read his
brilliant
books.
He's
absolutely
brilliant.
Superb.
Yeah.
He's telling you what's happening.
Yep.
He told us about depopulation, what's happening just now with the infections and all that kind of stuff. He died a couple of years ago. Whether that was...
I still think he was taken out. I'm sorry.
My wife thinks he's doing that. I'm not so sure because he liked a beer and he liked a cigarette. So,
a lot of people do. And they. It was just too convenient. He had way too much information that was accurate.
Yeah,
and I mean, think about the timing. Okay. So he knew all of what's happening right now years and years ago. And he wrote about it in his books.
Yeah. Well,
and he talked about it in his videos that he created and made. And now all of a sudden, he's gone, and then they start to implement their plan. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How convenient is that?
I think if he was still alive today, he'd be absolutely... He was always a joyful, jovial man.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make a joke about the seriousness as well, but he'd have enough to write 20 books at the moment.
I told you so.
He's not even that...
I'm saying that would be...
This is just... I don't think he would even believe how...
How accurate he was. Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Uh-huh.
If I get airplay or not from my beautiful wife, read his books, listen to his documentaries. He opened my eyes, to be honest, after 9/11. Although I believed in UFOs and everything beforehand and very open-minded person, it was reading Jim Morris' 9/11 book and watching a documentary on it. My suspicions became more truthful to me because of what Jim Morris started saying. You know,
and I think the 9/11 event was the event that woke up the world. I think
it put some of them back to sleep.
Those people who don't want to acknowledge it. No, honestly, I think that, I mean, we here in America, we always think that, you know, or at least to my perception of it was, okay, this is our problem. It's us. It's like only contained to us. Mm. I didn't realize that the rest of the world was looking at that event saying, what the fuck ever is
since,
going on?
Ever since television's been created, the world's been looking to America. Looking to the United States of America for the dream, to, you know, what our ancestors all came to America for, to find liberty, to find freedom, to find escapism.
Liberty, freedom, and justice. And you know what? I got to tell you, none of it exists.
Yeah. Not now, no.
No. Well, no. There is no justice in the justice system. I can attest to that 100%. And as far as our freedom goes, it was all an illusion. And as it's playing out right now in this whole fiasco that's happening, there is no freedom.
Well, the elite just dress themselves up differently, if you like, coming from Europe over to America, because the new people were trying, you know, on farming, fishing, all that, trying to be free from religion, from taxation, from all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, they were trying to break free from that evil crown, you know.
But the crown moved over here, and even though the Patriots defeated them and all that, it was still wrapped
up. They infiltrated.
And money obviously exchanged hands, which it always does.
Yeah, and money and power.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's all it's about.
And America's in the state it is now. And, it's a beautiful country, what I know of it, what I see of it. Beautiful people, hard-working people, what I've met. And, you know, but they're working every day God sends. They're crippled, they're knackered, and they're only, you know, they're only in their 40s or 50s. You're like, what? Is this the American dream? Shit. Won't even see your pension because you've been dead.
Welcome to the American dream.
Oh, wow.
You have to work 70 hours a week.
Two to three jobs
a week just to support yourself and your... and your family. You know, most American families are, you know, both you know, adults in the family are working at least one job apiece, sometimes two jobs each or three jobs between the two of them. And they're doing all kinds of overtime and they're just doing that to feed the machine.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, you've got, okay, what do you got? You got a $300 house, $300,000 house. You got a You have a, you know, a $50,000 vehicle. You've got your snowmobiles, you got your ATVs, you got your boats, you got all these toys that you purchased, okay? So when you go to work for your 70 hours a week and you come home with your measly little paycheck after 30% of that has gone to the government, you come home and you look at your house and your and all your goodies and material stuff, and guess what? You don't even own that.
Yeah.
Because you're paying for it every month. So the bank owns it.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
So
and
here's the other
and
thing.
And yeah, well, here's the other story to that. And you want us to believe in UFOs. They've got too many worries of their fucking own to worry about what the fuck's going on.
Well,
that's
the distraction. You know? Yeah, it's all a distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and all your money, even that you know, rest of your paycheck that you bring home, where's that going? Okay, so it's paying all those bills that I just talked about. And then you have tax on your gas that you have to get back and forth to work. Huh, imagine that, just to get back and forth to work. You have tax on your food that you purchase just to eat. Mm-hmm. You have tax on those pieces of property that you own and on your vehicles that you own and all this stuff. So what are you left with? Huh, guess what? I got to go back to work to do the same thing all
over
again.
Sky, to be honest, you're really depressing me. I was enjoying talking. UFOs and
You brought in the all American dream. I just had to paint a picture of what that looked like.
Holy crap! Yeah. I'm going to start swimming back to Scotland. It can't be as bad as this bloody place.
Oh, I have an idea. We can buy a boat.
Oh, there we go. But that's going to cost us in tax.
No, we pay taxes.
Yeah,
on
we'll
that.
Pay taxes now. Why don't we just steal it? Good old Scottish way. What did you poachers? We'll poach a boat. We'll leave a note. We'll replace it in the morning.
I'll bring it back, I promise. can't say that it'll be in one piece.
No,
we'll
give you a message. We'll give you a message in a bottle. Gee whiz. Yeah, but that's... That's reality. Well, it's not really reality.
No, it's all an illusion. Yeah, that's the whole point.
It's an illusion reality, if you like. We're stuck in
the confusion of everything.
Yeah, and just listened to a song yesterday on the fishing boat, Land of Confusion by Genesis.
Oh, yeah, Genesis, yeah.
Back in, 1985, 86.
How accurate is
that? What change is going to... It's still the land. It's got even more confusing.
It's worse, yep.
It's got more worse. Confusing. And that's what I said to Tom, my skipper. I said, what's changed?
It's still the same.
I think it's got worse.
It has. It's gotten worse.
So how did they know about the Land of Confusion then? But, what Jim Mars taught me, and which I'm very lucky to have a good sense of humour, and you have to have a good sense of humour through all this, because if you let it...
eat you up inside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I married you, because you finish my sentences. Eat you up inside is because... you will not come out the house.
You lock yourself in the house for the rest of your
life. You probably end
up
killing yourself, to be honest. Mm. And the world has become so soft. People are taking their own lives nowadays.
There's so much, so much suicide out there.
Because they don't see a way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's sad.
You know, I'm from the 70s and 80s era where you have a bit more backbone, you have big families, and, you know, you get slagged off, but you have to learn to have a backbone. Now nobody's really got a backbone because they depend too much on Google and the government
and all that.
So they don't really have a thought for themselves. You know, if they're feeling low, they probably go, Google, why am I feeling low?
No, what's that? What's that one they're using here in Alexa?
Alexa. Oh, yeah.
Turn on the lights for me. Turn the TV on. What time is it? Change my baby's nappy.
I don't know if it does that, but I'm sure there's an app that does it.
There's probably an app for that.
But I'll say diaper for all you Americans, not nappies.
That's true, they might not get that one.
Yeah, it's... the thing is not to let it consume you.
Don't let it get you down.
Yeah, because we're still human beings. We've still got emotions. We've still got sex drive. We've still got...
Let's not forget that. Yeah. Let's not lose that, people. Please, you know, we need to be human. They're trying to take our humanity away.
Well, you know the reason I left, you know, a big reason I left Scotland is because of you, obviously, but the people had become so brainwashed. I couldn't believe it. From 10 years to, since they all started getting mobile phones and then me being playing in the music industry, how different the atmosphere changed.
Mm.
From people being, you know, up and dancing,
mm-hmm.
having a good time.
Nowadays they're all sitting around a table on their phones. They're staring at the stupid phones.
That's what I'm saying. You're actually...
You see that here.
Yes, here, but you didn't expect that in a wee village in Scotland.
Well, true.
Which is more, how would you say... Especially alarming.
On an island where you have no...
Well, I've come from a family background of, you know, big family. Eight kids, mum and dad. And... We were always taught to play musical instruments. People would come round, socialise, and it was nice, warm, the coal fire on, everybody having a good laugh. You know, getting 50 pence off whatever that is in America. Money nowadays, maybe a dollar.
No, that's probably like, you know, 30 cents.
30 cents, and everybody passing you money.
That's probably about 75 cents.
You know, because they're drunk, and you're going up to bed in your pyjamas with a money, a pocket full of money, because you played tin whistle and you sang.
You swindled all the money out of your relatives.
That's what entrepreneurs are all about. And
That's why you're so good at getting money off of people.
That's right, yeah. Because I'm a tax man, really.
Tax man.
That's my real job. No, just the exchequer. People could socialise then. They talked about their lives. They talked about what was going on in their work. And then, you know, that carried on through the 90s. 90s were a brilliant era musically. And then when 2000 came in, when the smartphone, mobile phones started coming, people started becoming 6 metres apart because everybody's on these bastarding phones. And... You know,
and no interaction anymore. I got to do it in a text message.
Yeah, I seen one in a local pub in Barra. His mate went to the toilet and he texted him what he would like for a next drink.
That's pretty lame.
I hope he didn't put pee. Not in your life. What the fuck? Can you not just go
and wait 30 seconds for me to come back?
You know, just ask him besides you. Fucking hell. There we go. That's what's happened, I suppose. But again, that's all part of the system which is going on now with this programming.
Yeah, this was all put in place. They've been working on this program for, 200 years plus?
Oh, I would say more than that. And this is the thing about, you know, where we can't think that far ahead. We only think from 1 to maybe 70 years. Not even 1, maybe 10.
Is that because that's our lifespan?
Yeah. Well, these guys are saying...
The average.
We'll get you back in 300 years. And people, how dare they know?
Yeah, I mean, that's creepy,
because their
huh?
families carry on.
Well, I think they resurrect...
They resurrect and the bloodline carries on.
Because right. Yeah. They have the technology to resurrect.
Yeah, well, they've done it with the Tsars. The Tsars actually said no to the Illuminati about changing, I think it was to do the religion or some kind of fight. And the Tsars actually said no. And this was back in the 1800s, 1870s, I think it was. And one of the bloodline families is, don't worry, we'll get you back in 100 years and you'll change your mind. How the fuck would they know that?
That is creepy.
And they did. They went, they got somebody to go and get rid of the Tsars.
Oh, yeah.
The Tsars got murdered, every single one of them, from babies to dogs to
you
cats.
You think they're all gone? I think...
I don't think they're all gone, but I think certainly that was from the Illuminati to say, you go with our program. 100 years ago, you didn't. But this time you're gonna.
That's what happens when you try to go outside the box.
Yeah, when you want to think for yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
So even bloodlines are warring amongst themselves.
Oh, without a doubt. I think there's ones that want to have an easy life, and there's ones that want to.
Do you think any of those bloodlines are like nowadays trying to, you know, do the right thing and maybe
I do.
Maybe influencing
I do.
I'm going to say Trump. Because we have the election coming right up.
I do.
Maybe they've put Trump in power for a specific reason and are using him as a tool to try to right things, to make things better.
I do. I think there is still good in the camps around the Illuminati. Right?
Yeah,
I think there is, yeah. And I do think they try and infiltrate. What's the word?
Infiltrate.
I can't say it very well. But yeah, I do think there is good. But there's more... bad and there is good.
Yeah.
So the good gets sort of swept aside.
I don't know. I think they're doing a pretty darn good job of it right now.
I mean,
they're fighting. If that's the case, I mean, I want to believe that.
Well, we have to
believe it.
What's going to keep us going if we don't?
Right. I mean, you're just going to like crawl in a hole in despair and lock yourself in your house.
As long as there's plenty of beer, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, I definitely think there's good, without a doubt. I think there's good.
But I guess my specific question is about Trump.
What do I think of Trump?
No, do you think? Well, okay, let's. Yeah, sure. Tell me what you think about Trump.
Okay. I actually think Trump has got a lot of good morals about him. I do think he's a bully.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he's a bully,
I'm
not good at. We've seen them all at school.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of good in them as well. I think he wants the average Joe to be working and get a decent wage.
You think so?
Yeah. I do. And I think if he can get America great, because remember, America's always been great to as Scots and all that, especially in the Second World War, how much they created. And, you know, the women were working, making. Women were making tanks and airplanes.
Mm-hmm,
I think Donald Trump wants that back. And not just to mention the fact that his mother is just a couple of islands up from up from myself. So he's obviously some good in there. But, yeah, he's a bully. He's had his own way a lot of his life. But I think he's there. I think he acts, how would I say, stupid.
Daft.
I think he's letting people think he's stupid. Yeah,
I
think he's letting people think he's stupid.
Let me
tell
you something. He's brilliant. Somebody with that ability to make that much money and be that successful, you can't be dumb. I'm sorry.
No, that's true. That's true. But
I think people underestimate him, but I think he wants that because...
I think he likes being the underdog.
Well, I think what I'm saying is I think that he wants people to underestimate him so that he can put his plan into place.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
A lot of people will be out there saying, oh, he's a spoilt rotten, he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's got yeah, this, he's got that, which happens in Scotland, happens in Ireland. We all get pissed off with people that are...
Better and more Well, more are doing than
better
us,
than you, right, and you're working your arse off. Right, and that's just a human reaction. But deep down, I honestly think that he's trying to do the best for America and the world. Although intelligently, actually, it doesn't come across that way.
Right. And you know, it's really funny because I would say I really, really admired Trump probably about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of followed him a little bit, his business, the way he built his business and things like that. And he was very successful. And I used that as a... kind of like a inspiration for me to be a better person, to be able to be successful in my mm-hmm. life. I was always, he and Robert Kiyosaki wrote a couple books together. I actually have one of them. And Robert Kiyosaki, I'm a big fan of too, which he's a money guru. And his story is he started from nothing, dirt poor. And, you know, had his best friend's father was very wealthy and taught him how to make money. So he and Donald Trump were buddies for a little while. And they that's kind of when I was following them and, you know, kind of just trying to make myself better and my mm-hmm. business better and everything. And I admired both of them. And then when I started to see the real... Or maybe not the real Trump, but parts of the real Trump, you know, where the bully would come out mm-hmm. and the you know, aggressive, no empathy, I didn't like that part of him. It really rubbed me the wrong way. And I think a lot of Americans know, you know, that's what they see in him and that's what they've seen in him for many, many years. So when he ran, you know, back in 2016 for presidency, people didn't vote for him. I mean, what was your alternative? Hillary?
Yeah, there's not much alternative.
But no, I mean, so thank God he got into office, you know, and won. But I really think that those people that felt like I did during that time period, well, he's a bully. I don't necessarily want to vote for him. You know, I think he's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that reputation in a certain group of people. But if they were to just open their eyes and see the reality of it, if they knew what you and I knew, they would probably say, oh, my God, there can't be anybody but Trump in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the only one that can do
it. Yeah, because I don't think he'll be pushed around as easily.
Well, that's the thing. He's not controlled, whereas anybody else who gets that position as president is just easily controlled. Yeah. It's a puppet.
I'm saying he's got a certain degree of
he has an attitude where he just doesn't listen to.
Excuse me, I'm the president of the United States, right. Not you.
And you know what? That's the part of him that most people don't like. It's that arrogance and that cockiness.
Not the way America
but
was.
That's what needs to be there.
But America was brought up that way. You know, the short history that America's got. It got a president. People wanted a president they could rely on. That supported the people to give them liberty, freedom.
Right, you know? But see what we got every time? I mean, let's go back to...
John Wayne.
No.
We always thought in Scotland that was a president. Oh, well, I've been watching the wrong cowboy film.
No, Reagan, I don't want to go back that far. I was just going to go back to Obama. See, yeah, now polished. Well, that's what I'm talking about. People loved him because he was so
polished.
Smooth.
Yeah, polished. He was a
smooth operator.
Yeah, shoddy. You know?
And that's what was expected to be in a powerful position like that, is you need to have a certain sort of air about you.
Yeah, and an intelligence.
A certain air. But Trump comes in and he shakes everything up and he's like, you know, fuck this shit.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants to say.
He does, I swear. I'm sure he does. He's just, fuck all this, you know, screw it all.
Well, to be honest, Sky, we've gone from...
UFOs
to the US presidency. I don't know if that happens in the space of a couple of wines.
I think we covered pretty much a lot of stuff there.
A lot of stuff, but there's a lot more to cover. And,
we'll come
I have
back.
To say, I've got to go and have a shower, to be honest. Sorry, listeners.
I think you need to go have another beer is what you need. Another.
I work on a fishing boat, so I'm a lobsterman. Oh, no, I don't. I'm only joking.
He pretends to.
I'm the skipper.
Yeah, this is my husband.
Hello.
The musician.
Yeah.
And you'll be hearing a lot of his music on our podcast if you keep listening. So, we're going to wrap this one up. And I just want to say thank you for joining me, Ruthie.
Welcome. Thank you.
This is great.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. Okay. Hikiba. Never, never, never.